I believe there's only one homily that we're going to have for Christmas Eve, and that is on the gospel we have just read. Our subject is the Benedictus, our daily Christmas Eve. On Christmas Eve, the gospel for the day is the Benedictus of Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist. As we know, it is a hymn which I am sure he sang after his son was born. Was he ever happy to recover his voice? Remember, the angel told him that his aged, sterile wife would conceive. He doubted. Cannot be. But 9 months later, what the angel had foretold took place. Because of his doubt, he was mute. I'm told by mother, almost the moment a baby is born, you can hear the baby's voice. Zechariah and John began to speak about the same time. What Zechariah said on that occasion is no part of laws. Do we call it the morning prayer? For the liturgy of the hours. Even as Mary's Magnificat, which he spoke still before John's birth. You see, Mary kept her voice. She did not doubt. Mary's Magnificat is part of the evening prayer for Vespers. The centerpiece of the Benedictus, which I will give in my own literal translation, this is Zechariah describing his son who had just been born. It comes in my listing in 9 parts. And you, child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High. You will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way. The key to the Benedictus is the verb to prepare. To give knowledge of salvation to his people for the remission of their sins to the depths of the mercy of our God. In this field orient from on high has visited us to enlighten those who are sitting in darkness and in the shadow of death, to direct our feet into the way of peace. Thus the jewel of the Benedictus. It is all about the meaning of Christmas Eve. Our purpose in this prolonged homily will be to meditate on these words of the Father of John the Baptist. Try to penetrate into their meaning and listen and keep applying this meaning day after day, every moment of our lives, until the dawn of that Christmas day for which we were made. I would like to divide our meditation into four parts. Part one, Christmas Eve as the close of the Advent season. Then, Advent has three things. Advent as the commemoration of the past. Advent as preparation for the present. And Advent as anticipation of the future. First then, Christmas Eve is the close of the Advent season. Advent, as we mean, no means coming. It's a little more than coming. The Latin word for coming is ventus. But Adventus means coming to. It is not merely a coming. It is a coming to. To whom? To us. The coming, of course, is the coming of Christ. To us. The key to understanding Advent is to see it, and then we will proceed to reflect on the meaning of Advent as a coming to three times over. It was, first of all, the preparation, the thousands of years before the birth of Jesus Christ. That is why over the centuries, the Church's liturgy has always divided Advent into 4 weeks. This year, the fourth week, or it could be a little shorter. Christmas could have been, what's today? Monday? Could have been today. But it's tomorrow. But always 4 weeks, more or less 4 weeks of 7 days each. to symbolize the 4,000 years plus for the first meaning of Advent, those centuries and a millennia from the dawn of human history until the turning point in history when Jesus came into the world. Christmas Eve is the close of the Advent season, as seeing Advent for our daily preparation for Christ's constant coming to us by His grace. And thirdly, our lifelong preparation for His final coming, when He calls us into eternity. Now we go back over those three meanings of Advent. First, Advent as commemoration. The promise of the Savior's coming was made immediately after our first parents sinned. We call it, as you know, the Proto, the very first Evangelium Gospel. The Gospel means the glad tidings, the good news. This coming was foretold by the patriarchs. It was predicted by all the prophets. And during the Advent season, there is the one prophet on whom we concentrate, Isaiah. Verse after verse, chapter after chapter of Isaiah, describing down to the smallest detail the character of the Messiah who would come, including, and there is one piece of mathematics that every self-respecting Catholic should memorize. It is Isaiah 7:14. I were in class, I would ask, who knows what Isaiah foretold in 7:14 without answering out loud in our Lord's presence? Who knows? Thanks. And very appropriately, now the last day, remember? The series of all this and all that. Remember? The final one is Emmanuel. A virgin, that's Isaiah, shall conceive. And the one she will conceive is Emmanuel, God with us, God with us as man. The last of the prophets is John the Baptist, with apologies for mentioning this, my patron saint. He died a martyr's death. I'm still waiting. My one great hope in life. Not a martyr's death or witnessing to the truth. The last of the prophets. So much for part one of our homily meditation. Part two. Advent as our daily preparation. Christ came. That is Advent as commemoration. Christ keeps coming. That is Advent as our daily preparation. He comes to us, and get that, the A.D. in the word Advent, which is the Latin for two. No mere ventus, no mere coming, but a coming to. Adventus, coming to whom? To each one of us. Christ comes to us daily, in Holy Communion. That, my friends, is the daily fulfillment of Advent. Christ come to us daily in the sacrifice of the Mass. He daily offers himself. No matter what books you read, no matter what commentaries on the scriptures you consult, always do not forget that nobody steals this from you. The Mass is the daily sacrifice. How many parish bulletins ever now announce the sacrifice of the Mass? Is the liturgy this or the Eucharist that? The Mass is a sacrifice. We are not Protestants. Having taught in Protestant seminaries, I know what they believe and I know what they don't believe. They believe the Mass is, present tense, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Every time the double consecration is repeated, even as Christ on the cross separated his blood from his body and died for our salvation. The Mass is the most universal, constant, and most effective source of grace. What kind of grace? That we might be able to make our own lives a daily sacrifice to God. Christ comes to us daily in his Eucharistic presence. He's coming to us with his grace. But we've got to come to him by having our hearts prepared. When you sisters come at a chapel just to refresh my memory. Do you still have all-night adoration? Well, sisters, it's not just your bodies that are, shall I say, come sleepily into a chapel. It is our hearts that are to come to Him. That's why He is here. Christ comes to us, hear it. Christ comes to us daily in the persons He places individually into our lives. And how divinely ingenious Christ can be. Oh, the characters He puts into our lives. To see Him coming to me in the cold stare, in the unkind remark, and the blaming me for what she did. Oh, the faith I speak from better than experience. Unless we see Christ coming to us in the so-called happenings, nothing. How many times do we have to keep telling ourselves nothing ever happens in our lives? Nothing, nothing. In Italian, niente. In Latin, nihil. Nothing. It is Christ. And can Christ ever make heavy demands on our love of Him in the persons whom He has, be sure, not casually puts into our lives? Christ comes to us daily in the minute circumstances of His constant 24 hours a day divine providence. What's the secret? The secret is to see by faith that it is He coming to us. By the light of His illuminations and by the strength of His inspirations. Did you know that there are two kinds of graces in our lives? The pleasant and the painful. Oh, how we wished that all the graces would be pleasant. Forget it. They're not. Now you don't take one of your fellow sisters aside after Mass today. Sister, I just had a light to the Father Hardin's homily. You are the most painful grace in my life. You can think that. You can tell our Lord that. Don't, please, don't tell anyone else. We must believe this. It is not rhetoric, not poetry. It's not this side of the page. This is real. And what is the Lord doing? What is Christ doing? He is constantly coming to us to prepare us for His coming when a long final. Gosh, Lord, I thought You'd never come. Our last vocation. When He calls us, thank God, from this valley of tears to the mountaintop that we've been scaling all our lives. I'm not finished with part two. How do we prepare ourselves for Christ's coming and what the world calls death and we call the dawn of eternal life? First, and this is in the Benedictus, it's all there. To admit our blindness. Blindness. Not being able to see behind every event, every situation, every circumstance, every so-called mishap, every so-called misunderstanding, behind every person, every frown, every skull, every unkind word. Sisters, I'm not quoting books. I'm quoting my own life. To see Jesus Christ coming to us by His grace. I sure hope I am making sense. How do we prepare ourselves? By admitting our weakness. It is not a platitude that we cannot cope with life. That's what I hope we will see during our retreat. Which it was recommended that it be on the subject of divine grace. Did you know that? That's what we need. We need something. Lord, we need something to cope with life. As a very simple monosyllabic name called grace. Admit our weakness. But then know where we can get the strength. I'm still on preparation. Finally, repenting. And repenting daily. And more than once daily. For our failures. Saint Ignatius, my father and God, made an examination of conscience. That's what his biographers tell us. 7 times a day. He was merciful. He spared his followers. I'm obliged by rule to make it only 2x a day. Thanks, Saint Ignatius. Each day we do wrong, Each day we sin. Each day we fail in doing God's will. And we repent of our failures. Finally, Advent has a lifelong anticipation. Our lives on earth are our Advent. But it is not only our own individual personal lives on earth that are our Advent. It is also our collective lives as human beings anticipating Christ's coming, not only when he calls us individually and personally out of this life into the life to come, but also the anticipation of his final coming on the last day of the universe. How are we to prepare ourselves for Christ's final coming when we'll come to judge the human race? We believe that there are two levels to our existence. One level is our existence as individual human beings. Each one of us has a beginning when we were conceived. We were born, and then as individuals, each one of us dies. The moment we die, we believe we shall be judged. And life is our Advent. We are to prepare every day, prepare for Christ's coming when he takes us from this life into eternity. It is impossible to exaggerate the importance of this preparation. Let me tell you, there are two kinds of people in the world. There are those who don't have to make an act of faith that they will die. Stands to reason, you'll all die. But what a difference between the first class of persons who know they will die and the second class who believe that the moment they die in body, they had better be prepared. They had better be prepared to receive Christ coming at the moment of their bodily death. This preparation is not only the preparation of ourselves individually. It is a preparation, and with this I close, it is a preparation of the human race to which we are to contribute, because there will be not only a last day for each one of us, but a last day for the human race. Christ will therefore come as judge of the living and the dead. And we are to be prepared twice over, once for his coming when he calls us from this life into eternity, and once again prepared, hear it, prepared by extending ourselves during life to help others reach heaven with us, because, dear sisters, nobody gets to heaven alone. Nobody. Either we help others reach heaven, or none of us will get there. This preparation, therefore, for Christ's final coming on the last day of the world is a preparation of spending ourselves not only in saving our own souls, but spending ourselves in the salvation and sanctification of others. Lord Jesus, we believe that you came on Christmas Day. And we also believe, dear Savior, that you will come when you call us from this life into the life to come, and especially that you will call the human race on Judgment Day to enter into that eternal glory for which we were made. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.